to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Few among us have not struggled with some kind of compulsion. Smoking, binge eating, drug or alcohol overuse, excessive worry or anxiety, cursing, addiction to a fixed routine. All of these are compulsions. As a human being, you certainly know what compulsions are, and you also know how most people deal with them. We hide from them, we feel shame, we despair on ever being able to change them. We work hard to change our compulsive behaviors and use a lot of self-judgment or repeated efforts, like in stop smoking programs. What if there were a better way, one that involved no judgment, compassion, self-love, and also involved kindness? And what if it proved much more effective than our usual ways to end our compulsions? Mary O'Malley is here today to share her revolutionary approach to self-acceptance and healing of compulsions. So welcome to Full Power Living, where we bring you a wide variety of guests and programs to help you embrace and understand your own emotions. We broadcast on Blog Talk Radio and EmotionalPro.com and distribute through iTunes. Thank you so much for listening and for helping us with our mission of awakening the world to the power and importance of human emotions. Mary O'Malley is an awakening teacher, an author, a motivational speaker, a retreat leader, and a private counselor. She has over 30 years of experience. We are talking with her today about ideas from her book, The Gift of Compulsions. Mary's other books include Belonging to Life, The Magical Forest of Aliveness, and her latest, which we have already interviewed her on, which is entitled What's in the Way is the Way. Her website is at Mary O'Malley, MaryOmalley.com. So Mary O'Malley, welcome once again to Full Power Living. It's a delight to have you here.
Oh, Eileen, I'm so glad we're exploring together again.
Well, you know, you said something right before we started the program today that just really rang with me. So I'm going to step aside from my script and ask you, you were talking about how it's been proven that healing happens in the heart. Will you talk about that?
Right. There is a wonderful organization called HeartMath. It's been around for many, many years, and they've done a lot of studies and have shown that of our three brains, and we do have three brains, we have this brain in our head, we have a gut brain. In the East, they call it Hara or Tatien. We call it the abdominal brain. And then we have this heart brain, and they have shown how that is our main brain. And then the Institute of Noetic Sciences, which Edgar Mitchell created many, many years ago, because when he was an astronaut and when he was coming back from the moon, he woke up. He moved into consciousness. He saw this little tiny blue-green jewel of our planet floating in vast oceans of space, and he began the Institute of Knowing Sciences many years ago, and they created one of the many things they created is the movie The Living Matrix, and they go very deeply scientifically into the proof that all true lasting healing happens in the heart. And what we have learned, whether it's with our compulsions or whether even with our medicine is, you know, cut it out, kill it, get rid of it. And granted, that is very important at times in our life. But that is not the kind of medicine that heals us to our core. And the same is true with compulsions. Our whole movement with compulsions is to control them. And the U.S. Surgeon General, their statistics are that 98% of every pound that is lost in America is gained back plus some within a year and a half. And the key there is plus some, because what we try to control controls us. So what this work is about using the intelligent wisdom of this heart brain. It uses two core qualities. The first is curiosity. and curiosity doesn't need to fight with anything. And the second is, it's oftentimes called compassion, but I also love to call it spaciousness. It's discovering how to unhook from the war inside of us, and so we can heal to our core.
You know, that's interesting. Years ago, I stumbled across the concept that all addictions come out to a war between good and evil.
Right.
And I was talking with a young woman this week, and she said that she has a tendency to overeat, and she had been bad recently. And
right.
And I said to her, you know, can I offer you something? Because when you do that, you're making your problem worse. It's
right.
Not that you did anything bad. You made a choice, and you can make another choice.
Yeah.
And she
got
it.
Ah,
so.
Wonderful, because it is understanding that compulsions are not something bad or wrong about us. It's so important. You know, when we were young, you know, we had all sorts of experiences. Even if our parents loved us, we had all sorts of experiences that fall within the framework of invasion and abandonment. And so we had feelings inside of us that were oceanic, and we did not know what to do with them. So we learn how to stuff them inside of ourselves. We learn how to hold our breath. They say that most children, by the time they go into first grade, are no longer breathing that natural breath like dogs and cats and babies do, where their whole trunk is engaged. They have become shallow breathers. And we learn to run away to our head and try to become what we thought we should become. And so we leave all these feelings behind. And compulsions are the act of turning away from ourselves. It's the only thing that we learn how to do is leave ourselves, leave our embodiment, and go away. Well, that's like trying to run away from a bear in the woods. It runs after you. And if you watch very carefully, you'll see that compulsions are a finely crafted survival system for managing these parts of ourselves that we have learned to hate, to fear, and be ashamed of. And I see so clearly, having worked with people for so many years, that as long as we are at war with our compulsions, they will control us. As soon as we become curious about them, something begins to happen. Things begin to open. Things begin to heal and move through us rather than fuel us from underneath our everyday awareness.
So now, you know, one of the ways that I look at emotions is, and I know that you're in agreement with this, that emotions are energy.
Yes.
And energy needs to move and flow. So as I listen to you talk about compulsions this way, I'm hearing also that you're saying what we learn to do is to stop the flow of energy in us, and what we need to learn to do is to allow that flow again.
Beautiful, beautiful. And we are terrified of that. We long for that more than we can possibly know. But we are also terrified of it because when we stashed our sadness, our despair, our loneliness, our not enoughness, our anxiety, our fear, you know, when we stash them inside of us and spend our life trying to manage it, that's our joy. That is our joy bound up in this holding in our body, in our mind, and in our heart. And the reason why I wrote the book is because it's so important to understand that the safest thing you will ever do, the safest thing you'll ever do is turn towards yourself, to begin to bring the light of your attention into what has been fueling your compulsions. Now, as you know, I once gained 97 pounds in a year, and I was washing a lot of that down with alcohol, and I took every single drug I could get my hands on, prescription drugs, street drugs, and whatever. Why? I didn't know how to be with the fullness of myself, which is all my joy and my kindness, but I also didn't know how to be with my sorrow, my despair, my loneliness, my shame. And so I tried to numb them out. But slowly and surely you begin to realize that, as I did, oh my God, I would not have survived without this ability to numb myself out. But I paid a heavy price for it. I froze my joy. So the book is about a very safe way to turn towards, to be with. So this energy, this bound up joy, you know, we call them feelings, but really, truly, it's just bound up energy, bound up joy, so that this can open back up again and we can know the joy of being fully alive.
Let me just comment here that having been a therapist for 42 years, which means I trained for more years than that,
right.
I have been in this field close to 50 years, and yeah. I have never heard somebody talk about compulsions in this way.
I know.
And yet, it's similar to the way I talk about things. And so I just want to appreciate you. I know that you've done this. I always prize ways of doing things that are developed because we have a problem ourselves and we have to figure
right.
out something to do, which is how you've done this. So I just want to really appreciate that you used yourself, the laboratory of your own life.
Exactly. Yes.
To come up with a way that not only has worked for you, but you've been sharing it with others for many years, and
right.
you've got it written down in this book with loads of exercises. And the
right.
outstanding feature to me is the love and the compassion,
yeah.
which takes us back to the deep healing in the heart. But the love and the compassion, the message that says there's nothing wrong with you, you've
exactly.
done something that kept you alive,
right.
and now it doesn't work for you anymore. In fact, it's getting in
yeah.
your way, so let's change it.
Yeah, and that's the other gift of our compulsions, you know, that the two gifts. Number one, we have this finely crafted survival system, which we then make bad or wrong. But if we didn't have it, we would not be able to really, truly live because all of this stuff that's stuffed inside of us. But the second core gift of our compulsions is that they can become our guide for coming back to life, because whenever you're interested in a compulsion, there's something inside of you that is asking for your attention. And so after all these years of eating very normally, drugs and alcohol faded away on their own in my late 20s, but then food stayed as my main compulsion for a number of years more until I learned how to turn towards, how to be curious, and how to meet both the compulsion and what it was taking care of with compassion and understanding. And even after all these years, I keep a chocolate bar in my house at all times. Really fine European dark chocolate. And it's absolutely wonderful because I, at times, can have a little piece of chocolate and put it in my mouth and just let it melt and really enjoy it without needing to inhale the whole chocolate bar.
Yes.
But there's times when more than one piece interests me. And that's my signal that I'm probably holding my breath, tightening my belly, and I am trying to move away from what I'm experiencing. There's something that I don't want to experience. And that's the brilliance of this book. And I can say that because I didn't write it. I'm just a scribe. You know, I just say, like, okay, what do you want to write? But the brilliance of this book is that it shows you how to, in a very safe way, be curious. Oh, isn't this interesting? compulsions are calling to me right now. And you can learn slowly and surely how to meet and set free what has been fueling your compulsions.
Now, my son is 37 years old now, but when he was an infant, I breastfed him. And I remember having quite a large bag of Oreo cream sandwiches in my kitchen. Right. And I was nursing him one day. He and I were alone in the house. And I would get up every couple of minutes and go in the kitchen and grab a handful of these cookies. And when I got to half the bag, I sat there and said to myself, Eileen, you know that the sugar and the chocolate is going directly through your milk to your child.
Right.
You know this. And I had a voice in my head that came back and said, I don't care.
Exactly.
And I went and ate the rest of it. What would have been going, if I were to be curious there, how would I work with this?
Well, let me share with you a story that was the last time that I really, a deep, insane wave of compulsion hit me. And this was after years of the compulsive one being very quiet, except for little blips with chocolate, and then I would meet what was going on. And this is on the morning of 9/11. And I woke up, and the telephone started ringing. And friends called, clients called, family called, then clients came, and then a group came. And the group ended at 2 o'clock. And as I closed the front door, I had, many of your listeners will know this place, this insane, almost panicked urge to go and inhale the grocery store. Now, it doesn't have to be food. We're talking about all kinds of compulsions, alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, busyness. Even busyness is one of our core compulsions, although our core compulsion is to struggle. And all the other compulsions are an attempt to numb out from that struggle, because that's not who we really are. That's what I talk about in What's in the Way is the Way, about how the meadow of our being is always here, but we've gotten lost in the cloud bank of struggle. This wave was so strong, it was almost like hard to breathe. It was kind of, and I made it all the way to where my purse was, and I made it all the way out to the door to my car before curiosity kicked in. And I said, wait, what's going on here? And the eater said, don't give me any of that awakening crap. It's exactly what it said in my head. We're going to the store. Now, I had created a relationship with my compulsive one, a respect-filled relationship, a listening relationship. So it trusted me. So I said, well, I just remind you that we don't feel very good when we take care of ourselves in that way. I don't care. We're going to the store. And this is something that hopefully we can talk about a little bit later about resistance and how you work with resistance. But I then said, I'll tell you what. Give me 5 minutes on the porch. And if you still want to go to the store, we'll go to the store. And the compulsive one said yes, because I had learned how to not fight with it. I had learned how to listen to it, honor it, respect it, and learn from it. So I went out and sat on the porch, beautiful September day, and I live in this little 1914 cottage that is nestled under this 145-year-old maple tree, and I just started breathing a deeper breath. And all the way through this book, most of my books are all about the power of your own breath. And I just breathed this calming kind of breath, because the mind was very stirred up. And so then I turned towards and I noticed what was going on inside of me. And the body can be such a good guide, because this bound up energy that got bound up when we were young, it really, truly, it tries to express through our body, through that lump in our throat or that ache in our jaw or the crick in our neck or this elephant on our chest or this fist in our solar plexus. Well, I had a fist in the solar plexus that was on fire. I just brought my attention there and just didn't try to make anything happen. didn't even try to understand anything. And this is what we're beginning to realize, the phenomenal power of our attention to heal. And as I settled there and just noticed, you know, how big this was and you know, the quality of the energy that was happening there, what began to arise out of it was an ocean of tears. And I just cried and cried and cried, you know, for all the people that died, for all the children that lost their parents, for the world itself, and even terrorists that would live a kind of life that kind of action would make sense. This lasted about 10 minutes. And when I got up from that chair on the porch, I had not one tiny itty-bitty bit of interest in going to the store. Why? Because I had taken care of what the compulsive one was trying to do. The compulsive one knew the depth of grief that was there and had been taught when we're very young to be afraid of it. Mm-hmm. I, on the other hand, knew that this was just bound up energy that wanted to be set free. And as I was able to be with it, it opened, it moved through me, and then compulsions were no longer needed.
So as you were just finishing your story, I realized what it is that I was unable to feel that day when I ate the Oreo sandwiches. And that was my really deep joy in having my child.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
We're even afraid of joy.
Yeah.
I think in a way, Eileen, even more than we're afraid of our sorrow or our not enoughness, because the last time that we were fully open and fully alive to life, we got jerked out of it. We got scared over and over again. So this poor little storyteller in our head that uses compulsions to manage its experience really truly believes that it's not safe to open to life. Mm-hmm. And yet it is. And it's our birthright. It is our home. And yet we stay lost in the bubble of struggle.
Really powerful. We're up to our first break, Mary. I'm talking today with Mary O'Malley, who is founder of the organization Awakening. She's a counselor in private practice in Kirkland, Washington, and she's the author of a number of books. The one we're discussing today is The Gift of Your Compulsions. We'll be back after this message. Difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want, to take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes, or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them? Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com. Welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. Next week, Dr. Amelia Kemp is my guest. We're talking about whether modern psychology is really addressing the needs of people who are experiencing difficulties in life as we explore ideas from her book, From Psychotherapy to Sacrotherapy. Dr. Kemp notes that we humans are made up of four major components, the mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual, and yet modern therapists do not work with spiritual issues. So consider weighing in during the show. Have your own spiritual issues been met and dealt with during your therapy experiences? If not, tell us. If so, tell us. And at any rate, be sure to listen next Thursday, February 5th at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. We also would like you to sign up to be on our mailing list. That's emotionalpro.com. I'll get to share with you the details of upcoming radio programs. And also, I'm involved in a number of really interesting projects that I'd like to share with you and give you a chance to participate in if they're right for you. So sign up at emotionalpro.com. My guest today is author, professional speaker, and transformational life coach, Mary O'Malley, and we're discussing ideas from her book, The Gift of Compulsions. So before we go back into regular questions, Mary, I had the thought that I'd like to know from you, what's the most stuck in compulsions you've ever come across? Someone that was the most stuck, and what has happened to them from using this approach?
Oh, there's so many people that I've worked with in that way. I don't think I could pull out one, but I think that I could do a compilation of when you are deeply, deeply stuck in compulsions as your management system, because that my definition of compulsions is any recurring activity that you use to manage your experience, which you have little or no choice around. Well, the other definition is compulsions are the act of turning away from yourself. And people, when they are caught in compulsions and then they have not been able to control the compulsion, and then now they are absolutely terrified of the compulsion taking over and being there forever. That's oftentimes where people go in that deepest, darkest place. You know, this is all there is, and this will never change, and this is going to last forever. And nothing lasts forever. That's the amazing thing. But that is some of the deepest grief that we all carry, the deepest darkness. And it is such a great joy for me to begin to invite people to see that this is all happening in their head. And can they, for just a moment, be curious about what they are experiencing right now? I was working with a woman the other day that I've just begun to work with her, and she had bypass surgery, and now she's eating, you know, again and again, because the survival system needs to take care of all this stuff that we become afraid of. And she was in such a state that she kept on saying, there's no way out, there's no way out, there's no way out. And I asked her, I said, for just a moment, I want you to tell me what's going on in your body. So we pulled her attention out of the storyteller, out of the reaction to life. Mm-hmm. And she got curious, and she found this hole in her belly, and we began to explore it. It was this big, and it moved around, and so on and so forth. And she began to realize, she started laughing, and she said, oh my God, I'm not scared anymore. I'm not caught anymore. I am curious about what is going on inside of me. And then she said, which oftentimes many people do, when you really begin to discover the power of your own attention to heal, to not fix, not change, not rearrange, not getting rid of, not rising above, but bringing your attention to your immediate experience, then she said, well, how can I hold on to this? You know? And I said, well, you can't. You
right.
can't. But then we began to work with ways that she could begin to just notice her body. I call this strengthening the muscle of your curiosity. So when the compulsions are calm, like let's say when you wake up in the morning, I invited her to begin to notice three different sensations in her body. We do it that way because when you notice, you know, kind of like a, you know, my right foot is cold and, you know, some moisture on my chest because, you know, the covers are warm or there's a tickle on my forehead, there's nothing there. The compulsion is not there. The deep stuff that's moving through you is not oftentimes there in the morning. And so you begin to learn the power of just being curious about what you're experiencing. Now, that's like picking up the 5-pound weights. But, you know, when a compulsion comes, it can be like the 100-pound weights.
Yeah.
But there's ways that you can learn, and there's, you know, exercises in the book that slowly and surely you can learn how to develop that muscle of your curiosity. And believe you me, my main experience was dread. And dread is, this is why I gained 97 pounds in a year. And if your listeners don't know what dread is, it's this horrible feeling in your belly that something really bad is going to happen, and it's going to happen because you did something wrong. And it's just held within this field of despair. Now, I had to work a while to develop the muscle of my curiosity, and I can still remember the night that I woke up. Pure dread was there. And the first thought was, I need to go eat something. And then awareness said, absolutely, because again, we're not fighting anything. Fighting causes the compulsion to put its head in the sand and resist. I said, absolutely, but I just remind you that this doesn't heal anything, and this could be an opportunity. And it was kind of like, you know, when you come into a room and something really stinky and you want to, you know, close off your nose. It was kind of like I turned towards myself with kind of like, you know, holding my nose. And all of a sudden, I just got curious about the dread, and I could see it moving, and I could see how deep it is. And in a flash, it all opened up into joy. That's what I mean about bound up energy. Now, you can't go there. You can't begin to learn how to turn towards yourself trying to make things change. It doesn't work. It's this true awareness of your heart that knows. Just like you know if a friend is having a bad day, and rather than fixing them or judging them, you just listen to them and they feel better. It's the same thing. You begin to learn how to just be with the power of our attention.
It sounds so simple.
It's not. It is. It is. It's very simple. But this is why, you know, I wrote The Gift of Our Compulsions, and now I've written What's in the Way is the Way, because What's in the Way is the Way is using the same principles, but it's using for all the challenges of our lives. And there's health challenges, and there's relationship challenges, and there's, you know, boss challenges and financial challenges. And so, and this is why I do retreats in beautiful exotic places, or do phone groups or phone counseling, because we need to have support in learning this new language. And it is like learning a language.
Yeah.
You know, it you don't, you know, read a book about Spanish and all of a sudden you can speak it fluently. You need to hang out with other people that are speaking this language. But it is the language of the aware heart. And more so, even science is discovering that that's where lasting healing happens.
So in your book, Compulsions, you talk about four basic skills, and you've talked a considerable amount about curiosity, and you've mentioned breath. The other two are self-love and coming home. Can you take some time to tell us about those two skills?
Well, if you really look, if you had a little door on your forehead and you could watch the 65,000 thoughts a day, you will see how deeply, deeply cruel we are to ourselves. And it's become such the norm inside, you don't even hardly notice it. But if you talk to your friends like you would talk to yourself, you wouldn't have any friends. And if your listeners are interested, I mean, there's a wonderful chapter in The Gift of Our Compulsions, but there's also a wonderful chapter in Belonging to Life, and they can just email me at awaken@maryomalley.com, and I will send them this chapter called Disarming the Judger, because I took on a judger that was so strong. I'd love to say that it went to law school and graduated top in its class and was president of the debate club. And it could convince me that I was a worthless piece of crap. In fact, I tried to kill myself, you know, three times in my early 20s because of that.
Wow.
And then I began to be able to start using my compulsions to see what was happening. And I began to see this judger. And the more I saw the judger, the more my heart opened. I saw the judger as a very young part of myself who was always trying to make myself be good enough to purchase the connection I long for. And what we're beginning to understand is one of the most healing things you can do for yourself and for your family and for this planet is to discover how to meet yourself in your own heart. And boy, are we not good at that. We're so good at saying, I should be this and I shouldn't be that. But it's like I discovered with my judger, and I would say this when I was beginning to learn how to unhook from it, the judger doesn't know shit. We take on these illogical ideas about ourselves that then the judger has this, you know, legal document of proof about why that is true. And none of it is ever, ever true. It is just a myopic view of ourselves.
Let me tell you a quick story. I ran a woman's group for a number of years, and one night I had this idea to take a woman whose father had died when she was about 12 or 13 and have her talk with a woman whose mother had died when she was about the same age. And as they talked, one of the girls, the woman whose father had died when she was a girl, said that her mother took to her bed and didn't get up for months after the father died. And so it was right at the time when she and her friends were going out and she needed a curfew. And her mother didn't care when she came back. She just was not present. So the girl gave herself a curfew. Now, it turned out that all of her friends had been given an 11 o'clock curfew, and this girl gave herself a 10 o'clock curfew.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And this is what it strikes me that your whole approach here with compulsions is reparenting ourselves.
Beautiful.
And what I learned from that situation with that woman is that when we don't have parents around to help give us guidance, we're actually harsher with ourselves than our parents would be.
Yeah, extremely. And most of us don't have parents. We have what I call unconscious giants that have left themselves a long time ago. And in one of my books, I think it's The Gift of Our Compulsions, I talk about the baby rhesus monkeys. The very cruel study at the University of Wisconsin in 1952 where they took baby rhesus monkeys away from their mothers at birth and put them in cages all by themselves. Mm. And they had the choice of two different surrogate mothers, and if they chose one, they didn't get the other. One was a wire-form monkey that had a bottle hanging from it, and one was a cloth monkey that they could cuddle, but they didn't get to eat. 100% of the time, the babies chose the cloth monkey. So here we were as children, needing connections, being raised by unconscious giants. And what begins to happen is that this judger begins to develop inside of us out of benevolence, trying to make us good enough, and I put that in quotes, to purchase the connection that we need for survival. And so much of compulsions are trying to numb out this cruel, cruel voice inside of us that is always comparing us to some mythical idea of what we should be, and we're always coming up short. And so it is a huge, huge shift in healing when you begin to realize, and I didn't realize this for a long time, because so much of me was put out of my heart, but slowly and surely every single part of me was brought back into my heart. And so I say, there is absolutely nothing to be ashamed of or afraid of inside of you, even though it seems like there is. And this leads us to that fourth gift. First is cultivating curiosity. The second is loving ourselves from the inside out. The third is discovering the phenomenal healing power of your breath. And the fourth is coming home to ourselves. If we allow compulsions to be our guide, they will take us through this maze of disowned parts of ourselves so that we literally begin to live inside of ourselves. The mind drops into the heart. The breath opens again. And we again know the joy of not only being authentically ourselves, but being truly here and available to life.
Wow. Wow. Okay. I have nothing more to say to that. That's wonderful. It's our second break. I'm talking today with Mary O'Malley, who's author of The Gift of Our Compulsions. And we're going to talk about finding treasure, especially in sensations and feelings, next on Full Power Living. We'll be right back. Everybody feels anger, but if you don't learn to deal with it, anger can mess up your life. It can cause you relationship problems, difficulties on the job, or create health problems. If you want a way to understand and work with anger that's simple yet so powerful it helps you to put an end to the specific angers that are messing up your life, then you'll want to get a copy of a mini course I've created for you entitled Reduce Anger Now. With it, I want you to be able to figure out what's stimulating the anger you feel and have an easy way to change that anger so you can dramatically reduce the anger in your life. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, longtime psychotherapist, coach, and anger expert. I've helped thousands of people to master anger, and I want you to begin to become an anger master in your life. Order Reduce Anger Now at the store, www.emotionalpro.com. That's www.emotionalpro.com. All right, welcome back to Full Power Living. Mary O'Malley is my guest today. The Gift of Our Compulsions is her book that we're discussing. And Mary, you know, that last thing you said before we took our break is still with me, so loving and so forth. So we have feelings. We have these compulsions. They stand in the way of us connecting with ourselves. And so I think first let's look at resistance, and then talk a little bit about how we can use sensations and feelings
right.
to get through the resistance and connect with ourselves and go on a treasure hunt. Let's
right.
go there.
Right. So when you were young, energy flowed freely through you. Anybody's been around a baby, you know, sadness and then madness and then gladness, you know, and that's who we are. That's our natural state. Free-flowing aliveness. This doesn't mean you have to act things out. You just don't stuff anything anymore, and it just passes right through you. You can get mad at your boss, and then all of a sudden you see clearly what's going on, and then madness just leaves. But that's not what happened to most of us. And what we did was that we tightened ourselves, we stuffed this stuff, and we ran away to our heads, and we become thinking machines. Whether most people are aware of it or not, they experience life as a thought. They don't actually experience life. We're homesick. You know, Joseph Campbell, the great teacher that talked a lot about myths, he said, what we're searching for is the experience of being alive so that our experiences on the physical plane resonate in our very innermost being and we know the joy of being alive. The last time that we were fully here for life, we got scared out of it. We got, you know, we were playing with, you know, I know, pots and pans and making lots of glorious noise. And our mother comes around the corner and says, stop that, you know, and just feel the little body, you know, and then the tears that came. So as this storyteller is being created in our head, which the storyteller uses compulsions in order to manage, you know, all this stuff so we don't get that scared again, or at least we try to manage it, you begin to see that at the basis of this storyteller is, I cannot be open to life. I must numb myself out. I must resist. And this is why, you know, when you first start dieting, you can, you know, not eat for 2 weeks and you lose weight and everything's fine. But, you know, 20 years later, you start dieting and on the second day, resistance says, screw this, and goes and inhales the grocery store all in one fell swoop. So we need to understand that this resistance inside of our head is not bad or wrong. It's very much of a part of compulsions and it's very afraid of really truly being open to what we are experiencing. That's why I created a very safe pathway for people. And when I work with people individually or in groups, it really, a key part of it is learning how to not resist resistance.
Mm-hmm.
So when resistance, you begin to be able to work with resistance, then your attention can come out of, your curiosity can come out of, you know, I'm not going to look, I just want to eat, just like I did on 9/11. And you get curious about what you are experiencing. I call this treasure hunting, just like I talked about, you know, the night that I was fully with dread and it turned into joy. That what we don't see is in the held energy, in the so-called uncomfortable parts of our life, are always doorways. There's treasures there that are beyond your wildest imagination. So, for example, when I learned how to turn towards my deep, deep, deep self hatred. And I would say it even went beyond self-hatred into self-revulsion. You know, that's the best word I've ever come across, you know. And as I learned how to not get lost in the story of it, but be curious about it, it opened up into compassion. As I was able to be with dread, it opened up into trust. And as I was able to be with despair, I call it the no way out place. I lived there for years, helpless, hopeless, despair. It turned into the knowing that I never have been or never will be alone. And I think we need to hear this. That's why I called it treasure hunting. You know, we need to hear that not only does turning away create more suffering, it's like the bear in the woods, the bear will run after you. But also when you turn towards and you learn how to just maybe even peek out just one eye, just a little bit out of the corner of your eye for a moment about what you're actually experiencing when you are interested in your compulsions, very quickly it begins to make sense to you that these are not monsters. They're just very young parts of ourselves in monster costumes that as we release the costumes, we again know the joy of being fully alive.
So before we get into the sensations and feelings more deeply, I just want to ask you a couple of questions because in your book, you go through the process. You help people when there is resistance. You give them questions to ask. You give them the sequence.
Right.
You have exercises for getting with the breath and loving yourself. I mean, you have everything there. But how successful can a person with compulsions be to pick up this book and end compulsions? Do they need more, or have you found that the book itself is sufficient?
I find when people are just beginning to change their relationship with their compulsions, it's oftentimes helpful, you know, if like you're overeating, you go to Weight Watchers or thing along that line, that you have some kind of support, because it's almost like we've been doing just all management and now we're adding engagement. And the more that we engage, the less management becomes interesting, but we don't throw management out, you know, the baby out with the bathwater. Now, I find it also very helpful that, you know, reading the book, and if you're not inclined to do individual sessions or become a part of a group, you know, it's very helpful to open the book, read the book, and then open the book every day and read just a little bit of it. Or it's like, I've got CDs on this. It's so very important to keep on hearing. Just like if you're going to learn Spanish, it's very important to keep on hearing this new revolutionary way of working with compulsions.
And so by going to MaryOMalley.com, people can find the CDs?
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Good. Good. And so if I start to work on my compulsions, we have people listening all over the world, so I'm, you know, not everybody's going to be able to get to you. But what if I pick up your book and then I start having difficulties? Do I need to have a support system locally that can help me, or
Absolutely.
do you have something that can help?
Well, yes, you know, I'm only a phone call away, and or a group phone call away. So, yes, there's absolutely support that is there. And it's hard to find professionals locally that are working in this way.
Mm-hmm.
But we then become that question, you know, and we haven't talked much about it in this interview about questions, but the power of asking questions without looking for an answer is just phenomenal. And if you are ready, if this calls to you, if this really calls to you, if you begin to hear the truth in what is being offered here, be the question, you know, life, please show me the support that I need to heal my compulsions.
Mm-hmm. That's really wonderful. Do you have a phone number that we can list on the show here today? Or
yes, yes, 425-889-5937, or the email awaken@MaryOMalley.com.
I want you to know, when I went to Ireland last month, Mary, I took what's in the way is the way as a gift for some people who hosted my granddaughter and me. So I took Mary O'Malley back to Ireland. Well,
wonderful.
I'm sorry we haven't gotten to everything. I mean, the questions are really genius. They're Byron Katie type questions in my mind, you know, like, can I just sit here with this? Do I have room for this to just be here with me? And that sort of thing. So the questions are really genius and give a lot of room for people. Unfortunately, we're coming to the end of our time. And also, people can start to go inward by just paying attention to first their physical sensations and then perhaps deeper sensations, and then going to their feelings. So it's like a graduated way of getting inside, correct?
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to flex the muscle of your curiosity, like, you know, in the morning before you get out of bed. Just notice every morning three different sensations.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it calls to you, just sit quietly, you know, close your eyes when you're drinking your morning cup of tea, and just notice what sits here right now. That is developing the muscle of your attention, the muscle of your curiosity, which is one of the main ways to heal to your core. And if your listeners are interested, if they're not interested in getting the book, have them email me at awaken@maryomalley.com, and we'll send them the chapter on questions, because it is so true. I mean, we could literally do one whole, you know, radio show just on the phenomenal power of the two different types of questions.
Yes, yes, they're really, really wonderful. Well, that's very generous of you, Mary. I think I could talk to you for a very long time here.
Me too, Eileen. Me too.
So I'm really grateful for your loving and common sense and compassionate approach. I think I was telling you before the show that I've long yearned as a therapist to have a way to help people with, say, alcoholism addiction, or I know someone with a terrible addiction to worrying, for example.
Right.
That doesn't say you have a disease and you're powerless.
Right.
But that says this too is part of your learning. It's something you can deal with. And so the question I have, the final question I have for you is, is this method one that basically can help a person to end their compulsions, or if they don't totally end, give a way to easily get on top of them if they resurface?
Absolutely. And keep on remembering that the core compulsion is to struggle. All those other compulsions are just an attempt to numb out from the struggle. And so now compulsions become our teacher, and they become less and less interesting. You know, my main compulsion now is, you know, I live a very busy life, and on Sundays I like to clean my house. You know, that it's not heroin, it's not, you know, and it's just very important to a part of me that before I go into the next week, that that my house is clean and orderly. And so, in a way, compulsions just get finer and finer, and more you see and you unhook, I call it look to unhook, from this whole bubble of struggle that is like a cloud bank that cuts us off from the true experience of being alive. So I think that the summation of that is to say you become less and less interested in getting rid of your compulsions. And it's so amazing. That's, you know, when you're not running away from the bear, it stops running after you. You know, when you become less and less interested in getting rid of them and more interested in being curious about them, they calm down.
Wow, what a gift. That statement right there is a gift. So let me remind people that your book is The Gift of Your Compulsions. Your website is Mary O'Malley, MaryOmalley.com. And you can re-listen to this on the website to get information on various chapters and the wonderful things that you've offered today, Mary. Thank you so much for being my guest again on Full Power Living. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Eileen. It's my joy, too.
All right. Next week, join me for my conversation with Dr. Amelia Kemp, who's author of From Psychotherapy to Sacrotherapy, as we continue our investigation into approaches to mental health that actually work and help you feel better on a lasting basis. That's Thursday, February 5th at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media has been our producer. Thank you, Producer Paul. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.